KLIK 1260 AM Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Defense leaders are meeting in Brussels ahead of next month's NATO summit, discussing military aid and training for Ukraine to help fight against Russian attacks. Chair of the Joint Chiefs, General Mark Milley, giving an update on training for Ukrainian forces in NATO countries.
Through a global effort, more than 6,000 Ukrainians are being trained right now at 40 different locations, training locations, in 65 courses in 33 nations on three continents.
The U.S. providing an additional $325 million in aid this week. It comes as Ukraine is ramping up its counteroffensive to take back territory. Jobless claims holding steady with 262,000 new claims filed last week, the same number as the previous week. Filings for unemployment benefits are historically low, signaling a robust labor market. The Vatican says Pope Francis is expected to be released from the hospital tomorrow. He's been recovering from abdominal surgery. This is ABC News. The FDA is cracking down on how meats are labeled. The agency's new guidelines have to do with how grass-fed meats are categorized.
The agency already has to approve marketing claims about how food processors raise their animals, but now it is reevaluating its practices, especially when it comes to substantiating grass-fed or free-range claims. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack saying in a statement, consumers should be able to trust that the label claims they see on products bearing the USDA mark of inspection are truthful and accurate.
ABC's Ariel Reshef. British lawmakers issuing a scathing report on former British Prime Minister Boris Johnson, saying he lied to Parliament about parties during COVID lockdown.
The House of Commons Privileges Committee has found Johnson's actions were such a flagrant violation of the rules that they warranted a 90-day suspension from Parliament. But the former Prime Minister avoided that by resigning last week after receiving an advance copy of the findings. Tom Rivers, ABC News, London.
And I'm Dave Packer, ABC News.
Summer has finally arrived in Wisconsin, and it's time to make your brand shine. Become a weather sponsor in the month of June and take advantage of a very special offer. Buy one weather sponsorship for just $75 and get a second sponsorship free. Yup, BOGO. That's 20 ads per day for 2 days every hour. This weather sponsorship buy one, get one offer absolutely ends on June 30th. Call now, 608-949-8989. 608-949-8989. It's BOGO. 608-949-8989.
Here's what you need to know in western Wisconsin. I'm Jimmy Cuska. Despite some recent light rain, the U.S. Drought Monitor shows that nearly half of Wisconsin is experiencing moderate drought. The drought, which covers most of northwestern Wisconsin, as well as nearly the entire southern third of the state, is up to 46%, which is a rise from 25% a week ago. Additionally, over 90% of the state is considered abnormally dry. The National Weather Service is forecasting a significant chance of above-average temps and below normal precipitation for the state for the next 6 to 10 days. An air quality advisory has been issued for the southern two-thirds of Wisconsin through midnight. Wildfire smoke from Canada is covering most of the state, with current air quality unhealthy for children and people with certain medical conditions. The outdoor public pool in Chippewa Falls is set to open tomorrow. The pool, which was supposed to open last Friday, needed to delay its opening by a week due to a burst pipe that was discovered in the middle of last week. And UW-Eau Claire named Jason Vertigo as its new athletic director. He previously was the AD at Hamline University in St. Paul. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation. When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs today. 855-954-1186.
All into it, Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
Larry, it's your mom. Did you know the Civic Media Network covers the whole state of Wisconsin? They can help your business get the word out, whether you want to reach a smidge of folks or just want the whole kit and caboodle. Call 608-819-8255. Okay then, bye.
Hey, this is Joey Erickson at Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. At Civic Media, we love our local communities and want to share your stories. Submit your local event and we'll let our listeners know. Email me at joey.erickson@civicmedia.us.
Summer has finally arrived in Wisconsin. Wisconsin, and it's time to make your brand shine. Become a weather sponsor in the month of June and take advantage of a very special offer. Buy one weather sponsorship for just $75 and get a second sponsorship free. Yup, FOGO. That's 20 ads per day for 2 days every hour. This weather sponsorship buy one, get one offer absolutely ends on June 30th. Call now, 608-949-8989. 608-949-8989. It's FOGO. 608-949-8989.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Walks, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation. The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Walks has a track record of making life-changing, positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to three different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson & Walks, 855-954-1186.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
umpire, and I have a hard time seeing the balls and strikes, and he was, oh, that's a ball, that's a ball. And, you know, it's just amazing. It is really, really neat to be with Phil, and I had an opportunity to do the last four ball games with him. And, you know, and it's pleasurable to see Ithaca. I'm in Ithaca like twice a week, you know, with my sales rep, Todd. And
sure.
It's just one of those things that is just amazing to be a part of. And I'm just blessed that I.
Well, gentlemen, we appreciate you taking this time on your drive back to Richland Center, again to our affiliate station in WRCO FM 100.9, where I learned the trade with the help of Phil Nee and Ron Fruit and several others. And I obviously am partisan and think it's the best station in the network. But you guys do a great job. And again, if people in other cities across Wisconsin who are new to Civic Media wonder what is in store for your community, what Phil and Henry did today calling this game, this is exactly what Civic Media is all about, bringing local hometown radio back to in the Richland Center to maintain it, but back to the rest of the state. Gentlemen, have a safe drive home. Congratulations to Ithaca Bulldogs. They are the state champions. And Phil, it's going to be quite a party in Willow Valley and other parts in between out there in southwest Wisconsin.
Absolutely. They're going to have a big welcome home soon. You know, they're probably going to have a truck greeting them and everybody doing a...
All right, gentlemen, I think they probably hit a little bit of a hill in the valley there. But again, Phil Nee and Henry Bray, thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate you. Have a safe drive, gentlemen. And thank you so very much. We appreciate their time today. Wow. Mr. Zommers, what an experience for those young guys, right?
Holy mackerel.
Yes, right? You're right.
Right? No, it's just great. And I think this is, I mean, I've known Phil for 36 years. Nobody does it better. But again, for those people, Civic Media is new to a lot of folks in Wisconsin, particularly in Green Bay and Eau Claire and La Crosse and Hayward, Racine and Kenosha in particular. And people might say, well, what's this new company all about? What those guys just did, that's the vision for Civic Media, to bring that kind of local sports, local news, local coverage across the entire state. And we're very thankful to Sage Weil and Mike Crute for the vision and to get that done. It is coming up now on 27 past the hour. We are going to take a break, and when we come back, you're not going to want to miss it because we're going to get rid of the partisan spin. And we're going to deal in some facts here. Nobody does this better than Jason Stein. He was with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel for years, is a great reporter. He is now the vice president and director of research at Wisconsin Policy Forum. Who are the winners and who are the losers in terms of this deal by the governor, who is a Democrat, of course, and by the Republican legislative leadership on education funding? More money is going into education, that's for sure. But who gets what? And who comes out on the better end of the stick? And was the deal worth it if you look by the numbers? We're going to be talking about that with Jason Stein. And then in hour two, as we have said, don't forget, at 2:30, we have Janet Ginsburg, who is a writer and producer formerly of The Daily Show. And coming up, probably wait till next hour, Todd has to make a decision here. Do I give out some insider advice that may or may not help Republicans on this show?
I think you should. You talk about it. You're teasing everybody.
I mean, I'm out of the business. I'm in radio again. I'm out of the business of doling out political advice. But sometimes I can't. Vicki McKenna, who is the on-air broadcast partner of Brian Arthur Schimming, who is the chair of the state Republican Party, said that Paul Ryan is, quote, a pathetic suck-up. That's what she called him. And I asked Brian, I asked the Republican Party, is this what Republicans think?
I mean, my personal...
And I've got no response.
My personal opinion is just that is some major projecting right there.
Well, I don't know. I want to be accurate. We're very accurate here. I want to be accurate. So, I don't know. Next hour, we'll see if I give out... I don't know if I should. We'll see. Stay tuned. We have Mr. Stein up next.
The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Wachs has a track record of making life-changing, positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to three different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs, 855-954-1186.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allbaugh Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 1:33 on a Thursday afternoon, June 15th, 2023. In this half hour, glad to have our next guest with us. It is Jason Stein, formerly of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. That is where I first got to know him when we were both working in the building. I for a legislator, he in the press. Always did a great job with his partner there at the Journal Sentinel, Patrick Marley, who is now working for the Washington Post. And Jason Stein is now vice president and director of research at Wisconsin Policy Forum. Mr. Stein, welcome back to the program. Thank you so much for being here.
Good to see you.
Yeah, always great to see you. One of the things I love about your writing, Jason, even back in the time when you worked for the Journal Sentinel, you're very, very fair. You know, I have no idea about where your personal political areas lie. And you always ask direct and tough questions, but you were always fair with the information that you got. And I think that you were the perfect choice because tell people about the Wisconsin Policy Forum. This is a nonpartisan entity.
Indeed, yes, it is. And thank you for the kind word. The forum has members that range from corporate members to nonprofits to individuals to local governments and school districts. And so we try and keep that membership balanced so that people can look at the forum and say, yeah, I can trust that this must be a nonpartisan organization because it has membership from across the spectrum.
And again, for folks that might not be familiar with the name, part of this was the Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance previously, correct?
Correct. And the other part, which we were formed by merger in 2018, was the Public Policy Forum in Milwaukee. And both those groups, Public Policy Forum was more than 100 years old, and the Taxpayers Alliance went back to the Great Depression. So, you know, two very long-standing organizations in Wisconsin.
I think that's important for people to understand because certainly here on our show, I give out opinions for what they're worth. We have other shows here that give opinions. People call in with opinions. But one of the things that I'm really adamant about with our program is we bring people on like you to just deal in the facts because I never thought I'd be here in this day and age when suddenly the truth is up for debate. And it's like, no, you know, up is up and down is down. The sky is blue and the grass is green. And I think it's important to deal in facts. So I want to focus a little bit on this pragmatic deal between the governor, who is a Democrat, of course, Tony Evers, and the Republican leadership of the state legislature when it comes to financing for education, both public education and private voucher schools. If you could set this up, first of all, for us, Jason, help our viewers, some viewers, but listeners predominantly across Wisconsin, understand what led to this deal and what the basic tenets are.
Great question. I think, you know, in some ways, it's kind of what we saw at Congress over the past couple of years, where we thought, you know, wow, this whole system is gridlocked and broken down by partisanship and no longer sort of capable of taking on big problems. And I think we're seeing that at least, you know, so far, certainly in Congress and so far here in the state capitol, there's, you know, some bipartisan shoots breaking through the earth. So what this bill essentially would try and do is address the fact that in Wisconsin, for local governments, particularly municipalities, but also counties, there's been just really tight revenue picture for many years. In Wisconsin, local governments have two main sources of revenue. One is the property tax, and the other is state aid, which the biggest form of it is called shared revenue. Mm-hmm. Shared revenue is lower today in nominal dollars, not adjusted for inflation, lower today than it was 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And property taxes are also under very strict limits where the local government can only increase them to capture new buildings that are built, you know, new structures that are built, can't raise property taxes to capture any of the appreciation in real estate value, of existing real estate. And local governments in Wisconsin don't get, there's a county sales tax, but cities, villages, towns, they can't levy a sales tax. They can't levy an income tax or anything else. And so what you're seeing is for the past 20 years, the state has had all this growth in income and sales taxes. Mm-hmm. The local governments have had strict limits on their main tax, and the state has not been passing along any of the additional revenue it's been getting for local services like police, fire, libraries, streets, things that are done, you know, especially for public safety, almost exclusively at the local level in Wisconsin. And so that is the backdrop for this whole thing. And do you want me to talk a little bit about what Bill would?
Sure. Yeah. So what kind of give folks an idea of what the big parts were, where the governor and the Republican legislature came together, not just on and shared revenue is important, but also this education aspect too, if you'd be so kind.
Sure. So let me talk about the local government first, and then to kind of get this deal done, the governor made some agreements around education, sort of thought. So, the main part of the bill would take 1/5 or 20% of state sales tax revenues and say, we are going to dedicate this to local governments. And why is that significant? It's significant in part because, you know, local governments have had a couple years now of very high inflation, but their core revenues have not been allowed to grow to match that inflation. And so they're struggling to hire and keep police officers, you know, firefighters, these key personnel that they need, you know, to operate. Mm. And so the big component is to take that, provide that funding to the state's program called shared revenue and have that where it will grow over time. You know, as consumer prices rise, so will those sales tax revenues. And then the other, you know, another big portion is to, you know, and we can sort of talk about how that money is being divvied up, but the way the money, the shared revenue money is being divvied up will be more of a benefit to smaller communities in the state because of the way they sort of structured that for them. And then in addition to that, the legislation would provide to the city and county in Milwaukee are facing very, very big structural challenges, including challenges within their pension system. Mm-hmm. That most of the state is in a well-funded state retirement system. They're in their own separate retirement systems that have some big problems. And so this bill would dedicate a new 2% city sales tax and a 0.4% county sales tax to addressing those issues, and also would make some requirements that, you know, around what they would need to spend money on at the local level. It would transition their people into the state retirement system. It would mandate that they spend money a certain amounts on police and fire, that sort of thing. So, you know, there's a whole ton of provisions, but that is really the big picture of it. And then we can talk about the education.
Yeah, the education one is interesting. Well, it's all interesting. But to me, Jason, because what we've heard, there's a lot of spin, right, on both sides. And so the people that are in favor of a private education, better known, many of them are religious schools, some aren't, but many are. And you know, these vouchers where people can take their portion that would normally go to a public school, they take that money, they take it to a private school. And then you've got the private schools. And so you got, or then you got the public schools on the other side. So explain to folks kind of who are the winners and losers when it comes to education, please.
Under the education deal, you know, there would be some additional funding for public education, which has been sort of frozen for the past couple of years. They would get some increases. It would not really catch them up for the 2 years that they've been frozen, but there would be some increases. There would also be really significant increases for independent charter schools and private schools that receive public funding through the voucher program. It gets billed as an expansion. What it really is a funding increase. It's not like an increase to the eligibility of who can participate in those programs, but it's going to kind of indirectly be an expansion, I think, because it's going to sort of incentivize like private voucher schools to serve more students under existing eligibility criteria. That's my sense of it. I wouldn't say I'm an expert on that, but that is my read of it. So that's going to have some significant impacts within the world of education.
Yeah, we have, and I don't mean to go down this rabbit hole because this isn't your story, but we had your former Capitol Press colleague, Matt DeFoor, who's now with Wisconsin Watch on a couple of weeks ago. And we were talking about this, that public schools are just not getting the same amount of matching dollars, particularly in special education, as private schools. And so, like, you take Reedsburg, for example. I think they have a $2,000 per pupil shortfall when it comes to special education funding in the Reedsburg School District in southwest Wisconsin. And so I think one of the points people are making is that even though there's more money being put into this overall in public education, it's still leaving school districts, public school districts, short per pupil, which, am I right or wrong, Jason, that puts it on the burden of local school districts then to go to referendum to make up for that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. If you look at the revenue limits that cap the amount of money that school districts can raise from state general school aids and local property taxes, those have been frozen for the past 2 years. Now, the schools have gotten federal, you know, pandemic relief money, but that money is going to expire by next year. And that was one-time money. But the ongoing revenues that they need to pay permanent salaries and things like that have been frozen the past 2 years. You know, what they're getting out of the state budget is maybe something like a 3% increase in their ongoing revenues in each of the next 2 years going forward. And that may really actually do a reasonably good job of keeping them up with what kinds of inflation increases they're going to see over the next 2 years. But for the past 2 years, you know, inflation has hit at points 8% and 9%, and yet their revenues have been frozen. And unless they've gone to a referendum, they haven't been able to keep up. And from what I can read in the bill as it's coming out of the Capitol, that budget would not catch them up. It would be more something that would keep them from falling further behind.
I think that's a great point. This really isn't a huge help. It's like you say, keeping from going further behind, which a lot of districts are already at or near their breaking point. Molly Beck from the Journal Sentinel in a piece along with Hope Carnop, I believe. I hope I say the last name correct. I think in their story from a couple of days ago, that the actions resulted in a per pupil ad increase of more than $300 per person in the public schools, and I don't see it in front of me. I read somewhere else. I think for private schools, correct me if I'm wrong, Jason, but it was closer to $700 per pupil on the private school side. So again, there are fewer private schools, right? So that money goes further per pupil. But the point is that public education is getting less per pupil in this agreement than private schools. Is that accurate to say?
It's certainly accurate in terms of the increases. Now, private schools, you know, their funding was below where the average statewide revenue limit is for public schools. So they're starting out behind, but they're certainly doing a big, you know, and may still be in some cases behind public schools in their area, a given voucher school. But yet this budget has been a big catch up for them. And again, I think that's one reason why I think you're going to see some expansion or some increase in the number of students being served within the voucher system, because, you know, at present, to some extent, they may be losing money on each kid that they serve off the state voucher, and they're having to make fundraising or something.
Mm-hmm.
And this increase starts to close some of that gap for these private schools. And they may be, for that reason, some schools that aren't even participating in the program right now.
Mm-hmm.
May look at this increase and say, oh, we're in now, because now we like the way the numbers look.
We're talking right now with Jason Stein, who is the vice president and director of research at Wisconsin Policy Forum, a nonpartisan group who does a great job of kind of looking through the numbers, sifting and winnowing and giving us facts here. We're coming up against a break, Jason. We're going to come back on the other side of it and talk a little bit more about this public versus private education and the funding therein. Also going to touch on what's happening in Milwaukee, have Jason break that down for us. And, you know, maybe we'll ask, we'll see what, I know you're not an opinion guy anymore. Never were really an opinion guy. You can't take an opinion, but just based on your reporter hat and on just being around, what does this say kind of just about the sense of bipartisanship that, as you say, might be a shoot of hope? We'll ask those questions and more to Jason Stein. Stay with us. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
One call, the Civic Media Network of stations can deliver your business's message to the entire state of Wisconsin.
Or your hometown.
Marketing plans that work for your business. One call can do it all. Civic Media, 608-819-8255. Summer has finally arrived in Wisconsin, and it's time to make your brand shine. Become a weather sponsor in the month of June and take advantage of a very special offer. Buy one weather sponsorship for just $75 and get a second sponsorship free. Yup, FOGO. That's 20 ads per day for 2 days every hour. This weather sponsorship buy one, get one offer absolutely ends on June 30th. Call now, 608-949-8989. 608-949-8989. It's FOGO. 608-949-8989.
It's go time at Chula Vista. Time for you to discover Wisconsin's most complete resort experience. 200,000 square feet of water park fun. New thrills like zip line racing. 18 holes of classic golf. Wisconsin's number one steakhouse. Hundreds of newly renovated rooms. Check it out at ChulaVistaResort.com.
Chula Vista Resort is one of the nation's top 10 indoor water parks per USA Today's 2023 Reader's Choice Awards. Find out why at ChulaVistaResort.com.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Network, where it is now 10 minutes before the hour of 2 o'clock, 1:50 on the time and temperature sign. We have with us this half hour Jason Stein. He is the vice president and director of research at Wisconsin Policy Forum, a nonpartisan group that tracks where our tax dollars are going and what legislation is being worked on in the Capitol. A busy time of year right now, Jason.
Yeah, for sure. This is like our Christmas and, you know, New Year's and everything all rolled into one.
So help our listeners understand this, because people, we always hear the state budget, Joint Finance Committee, the budget writing committee right now is working through that. We hear the state budget, Governor Evers saying now with the UW education where the Joint Finance Republicans and Joint Finance Committee are saying they want to cut $30 million plus out of the governor's request, the UW Systems request. The governor now is saying he's going to veto the whole thing if he doesn't get it. We hear about the budget. Help our listeners understand what we just got, or what we're talking about right now, the shared revenue component, the public education. The legislature is taking this out and voting on it individually. So are they doing this as standalone bills separate from the budget, or is this going to be rolled into the budget that Governor Evers could either sign, partially veto, or fully veto?
It's both, I think.
It's both. Okay.
Mostly apart.
Okay.
So they're definitely doing some of these things as separate legislation. So the shared revenue thing, it's really a provision of the budget, but they've put things in there like governing whether or not there should be school resource officers, police officers within Milwaukee Public Schools. There's, you know, provisions that affect the how much authority the Civilian Police and Fire Commission has in Milwaukee. And these are things that if they put them in the budget, Governor Evers would partial veto them out before you could blink.
Right.
You know, as soon as that bill got to his desk. And so this is really wonky, but we can only use a partial veto if you're governor. You can only use it if there's an appropriation in the bill. And so they crafted this bill with no appropriation in it, but then there needs to be an appropriation. So then the state budget is almost becomes like trailer legislation, if you will, to like make this whole thing work.
Now, see, for a guy who used to work in the building, that's really interesting. So let me explain this, and you tell me if I'm wrong, Jason. So what they've basically done is they've said, we're going to pass legislation to require this to happen, but we're not putting any money to make it happen. The money's going to come in the budget, and you can either fund it or not, Governor.
Correct. I think that's right.
Okay.
I think that's right. And again, most of the things that are going to be funded are going to be things that the governor wants to fund, right?
Right.
He wants to fund the shared revenue program. He wants to fund general aid increases for schools. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they can trust, if you will, that he will do that. And I think maybe to some degree, and this is maybe a little before my time, but in the 1990s, I think you might have more just had Democrats go to Tommy Thompson in the budget negotiation. And they would just say, well, if you do this, I agree that I won't veto it out.
Right.
Right. And right. And that's not generally how we roll here today in 2020.
Not the same amount of trust. Deals aren't happening down the street on East Washington Avenue, you know, at the Avenue Bar.
Not as much. But I will say this, really, for the first time, in a way that didn't happen during Evers' first term, the governor and Republican legislative leaders are talking with one another. Mm. They are negotiating major issues that really substantially affect the public, and they are reaching some compromise. Now, you know, some of the hardest things, like the potential income tax cut that both sides say they want but want to do in completely different ways, you know, we have yet to see those things get resolved. So it's, you know, they haven't reached deals really on Medicaid or something like that. So, you know, what remains to be seen how big a kumbaya we'll be singing at the end of this process. But, you know, they have honestly done things that I think a year ago we would have said could not have been done.
I'm not going to try to paint Jason into a box here because he's a nonpartisan guy, but I'll simply make a statement and you comment as you want to or don't want to, simply from a factual standpoint. There was another person from another organization called Will. It is a right-leaning group on the airwaves here recently, and not on our program, but another one. And they were saying that this person was saying, well, you know, even where private schools, voucher schools get increases, public education performance still goes up, looking strictly at performance. My argument is that because there are fewer private schools, fewer students, and they're not required to take every student like a public school student or district is, Of course it goes up. And the reason that public schools go up is because we have teachers that don't get all the extra stipends to do all this extra work, and they're working harder with less. And so that we're putting a strain on public schools. And even under this proposal, am I right or wrong, Jason, that if you look at the numbers, there is more money percentage-wise going to private schools than public schools? Or am I off?
It really is a case-by-case basis. I mean, you know, for example, the revenue limit for the current year for school districts median in the state of Wisconsin is like $11,600. Mm-hmm. You know, average is something like $11,900 for K-12 students. You know, under this bill, a choice student K through eight would be like $9,500 per pupil, but a high school student would be $12,000. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the $9,500 below the average statewide, value, the 9 through 12 pupil is like slightly somewhat above for choice than it is. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, each individual school district is going to be different as well, right? About because the revenue limit for each individual school district is different. So, you know, it's one of these things where it's like, well, it depends, you know, which is like what you hate to hear any talking head say, right? You want a clear, definitive answer.
Got 1 minute left, Jason. Give us the 50,000-foot perspective on UW funding. Do you think they're going to come to some sort of agreement between the legislature and the governor, or is this headed to a full veto at some point?
Well, I do not know. So, of course, what you're saying is the legislature has talked about cutting by, I think, $32 million, which is equal to sort of the diversity, equity, inclusion efforts within different UW campuses. So we have a $7 billion surplus. We have labor challenges as a state. But the legislature has said we don't want to put more money into, you know, four-year public higher ed campuses. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Higher education has become pretty politicized.
Yeah.
And so I just don't know. But I do know that the state has a surplus, and I do know that the state has some labor challenges that four-year campuses could address, and that there could be, you know, I think some benefit to employers and our economy and the public if they were addressed.
Jason Stein, Vice President and Director of Research at Wisconsin Policy Forum. Thank you, sir. We appreciate it. Take your phone calls in the second hour and more. Stay with us. This is the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's June Dairy Month, and though more than 5 million people call Wisconsin home, we share our state with close to 1.5 million cows. Those beautiful animals. Yes, okay, I grew up on a dairy farm outside of Green Bay. They've been here since before we became a state. Can you answer this? Most of our cows' milk currently makes which product? Is it butter, cheese, or ice cream? The answer coming up. Wisconsin's first official milk plant, 1894 in the Waupun area of Fond du Lac County. Fast forward more than 120 years, now farmer-owned with a second location in the Outagamie County village of Black Creek, the Saputo plant is even featured on History Channel's Modern Marvels for its award-winning cheesemaking. So did you guess? Most of our cow's milk, 90% of it currently makes cheese. Gouda for you. Join us in thanking our farmers by celebrating June Dairy Month. For the Civic Media Network, I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Pack.